which is this insane club. It was voted number 11 club in the whole world or something. Wow. Yeah, it's like crazy, like
illusions.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And like huge names play there.
There
like
was a bunch.
DJ.
No wonder they call it. Can I get a fire truck? Let me get a fire truck in the building right now.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, D. Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead.
Like huge names to play there, like DJ Tiesto, ASAP Rocky, there, like huge names.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited because I'm like, yo, finally gonna get to do a show where it's not just all white people in the crowd. Because like I've been playing everywhere in Canada for the last 15 years. I've been back and forth across this country so many times I couldn't even begin to tell you how many times.
Yeah.
And you know, like when I'm with Snack or with Junk or someone, like, you know, we have a certain demographic that we attract to our shows, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. white people from Canada. More or less, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in Thailand. I'm like, oh, it's going to be great to just, you know, there's going to be a bunch of Thai people in the crowd, right? So the club starts filling up before the show, and I'm like, I don't see any, like, Thai people in here. It's all white people. It turns out they're all Russians because there's a huge amount of Russian, like, snowbirds that go to Thailand.
Mm.
Like, a ton of them, bro. Like, there's so many Russian people there. I had no idea that it was like that down there.
Mm.
So the promoters that brought us there, all our hosts, our chauffeur that was driving us around, like, everyone that was there for us were all Russian people, and they live there for 6 months of the year, then they go back to Russia for 6 months, they come back. And they all don't...
Привет. Красавец, как дела? Прекрасно.
Випьем за любовь. That's cheers. I learned that when we were having a couple of drinks.
Bring me lady boy.
Yeah, and all these guys own businesses down there. So when they go back to Russia, like, they're like earning when they're from their businesses in Thailand. So, and it's really cheap down there. So for like $1,000 Canadian, you can get like a huge like palace to live mm-hmm. in down there. It's mm-hmm. like...
Right here.
Yeah, it's beautiful down there though, man. Like the beaches, everything. There's just fruits growing everywhere, and like you just...
What about the insects?
Oh, I didn't see too many insects. I did see this one insane spider, like dude, like it's a spider that you've probably seen it like in nature shows. It's this massive one that's like red and yellow and black, and it's like this big.
What? What?
And the web, its web must have been like 3 feet, like circumference, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just... And I've seen these ones like in nature shows. I'm like, yo, that's one of those crazy like black, red, and yellow spiders.
What, you said like this big?
The spider was like that big, like with his leg span and everything.
Yo, man,
But the web was like 3 feet circumference.
Oh.
Massive. And like the spiders down there, like they'll literally take over entire trees. It's wild. Then there's this little lake by our villa, and there was like a caiman swimming in there, which is like a miniature alligator, you know, a caiman.
Oh, yeah.
Like little tiny alligators.
Yeah.
Just swimming around in this little lake. There's this like crazy snake that was like trying to jump out of a bush at us. Like, yeah, so the wildlife is definitely popping off down there. Yeah, and then there's just like fruits growing over. There's like mangoes and limes and bananas and pineapples and coconuts.
Were the spiders on those trees?
Yeah, spiders are everywhere. Yeah.
They're on those trees?
Yeah, they're everywhere, bro. You can't escape them, dude. They're just
there. Snakes, though, you're talking about.
Yeah, no, and you got to be... And there's in Thailand, they got like king cobras and stuff down there, so... Yeah, you gotta be... If you're like, don't, you know, if you're just gonna go for like a little, you know, friendly hike through the jungle, like come prepared, and you know, bring a machete or something, because you're gonna probably get attacked by something.
Yeah, I ain't going to no jungle, dog.
But yeah,
I'm gonna be in the bungalow on the beach.
But our villa was like right on the beach, like a 50-yard walk right on the beach, like sapphire blue water. So when swimming in the Indian Ocean, I have a thing where like everywhere I go, I like to swim in whatever the epic body of water is. So I was like, yeah, checked another one off the list by dipping into the Indian Ocean. So so that was pretty cool. Pretty, like, there's a lot of history in that ocean, you know what I mean? Like back in the day,
mm-hmm.
yeah, with mm-hmm. the spice trade and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mm-hmm. so did the show, and then had another couple of days off, and just went, and you know, our guy just drove us around and saw some sights, and had some authentic Thai food. Thai food is my favorite food, my favorite cuisine of any type of food. So that was the most thing I was most excited about, was getting some authentic Thai food. So when we were down at Patong Beach, we hit up a little street vendor and got like big thing of pad Thai that was cooked right in front of me in the wok and everything. It was 100 baht, which is about $4 Canadian for a massive thing of pad Thai.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
So what about like now when it came to the food? Because I often hear like people, because the
you know, it's different there.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people get sick from eating, not because their food is toxic,
yeah,
but just their digestive systems here in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, well, that's
not like that.
Yeah, but the thing was, like, somewhere like Thailand, all their food is like, it's all locally sourced. They don't need to import anything from anywhere, so it's all fresh, like farm to table. You know what I mean? It's all, and like, there's no pesticides or chemicals grown in anything. It's just like all the whole area is just all little local farmers that supply to the restaurants and stuff, so it's way better food quality. I got an iron gut, so I can eat anything, and I never experience any issues anywhere I go. So, but maybe for some people it'd be an issue, but not for me.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So let's talk about because I know you do a lot of work with Planet Asia too.
I did. Yeah, I did. I did some cuts on a joint, Planet Asia and the Snow Goons. I don't know if you're familiar with those guys.
Yeah.
Snow Goons. They're a European hip-hop conglomerate.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Illegal, DJ Crypt, Danetic. There's a whole bunch of them. Sick Nature from Denmark. They're primarily German dudes, but they got dudes from other European countries as well.
Yep.
And they're kind of regarded as, like, you know, European gods of the boom bap hip hop culture. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it for a long time. So they kind of started out by, like, they would bring American artists over to Europe, and then they would tour with them. They would DJ for their shows, and then in return they would get verses from them, and because they make beats too. Mm-hmm. And they would put out, like, producer compilation type albums with different people on their beats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how they got their start. And then they linked with Onyx. And DJ Illegal, every time Onyx goes to Europe, he's their main tour DJ when they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, the Snow Goons collaborated with Planet Asia on this EP called UZI, which is an acronym that stands for Universal Zeitgeist Intelligence.
Intelligence.
Universal Zeitgeist Intelligence.
Okay.
And the artwork is crazy. The artwork is like, it's like an UZI. And then it's like painted on, and it's got like it's like Jesus, like, on the crucifix, but it's on the Uzi, like painted right on the Uzi. It's wild art. It's like some of the best art I've ever seen.
Mm.
So they just put out like a little 6-track EP, and DJ Illegal hit me up and asked if I wanted to do cuts on this one joint, and I was like, of course, bro. Like, I love Planet Asia.
Yeah,
I DJed for him twice when he was in Vancouver, once at Fortune and one time at a beat battle that a homie of mine threw, and he brought him up to perform at this battle. The time of Fortune, my boy Sean Lala, rest in peace, Vancouver legend, promoter, show booker, he brought him up and he convinced them to let me DJ for their set. It was Planet Asia, and I think, maybe it was Crondon or someone that he brought with him. So that was dope. I'm at one point in time, Planet Asia was my favorite MC alive. At one point in time, I've always been a big fan. So I banged out the cuts on this one joint, and it was a tricky one. Like, we'll play it on here, and you'll see why. It's kind of a weird beat. I didn't really know how to flex on it, but I did my thing, and they were happy with it. So So that's one of my favorite features that I've done for sure with my cuts.
Dust piece.
Yeah.
Dust piece.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about the project that you got coming up.
Yeah, I'm working on, speaking of like producer album compilation type things, I'm working on my first solo release. So it's, for those familiar with like the old Pete Rock Soul Survivor albums, or any Static Selecta album, or like the Jake One White Van Music, or any of those, you know, producer albums where it's all one producer's production with different people on them, different artists on each track.
Yeah.
And it's a strong emphasis on posse cuts. So every song I have has at least like 3 people on it. And I'm just trying to incorporate, it's all being like carefully curated in terms of who I get on each track. I want everyone to complement each other. I want the vocal tones to be complementary to one another. I want everyone to sort of to really fit on the beat well in terms of their style.
Mm-hmm.
So I really thought it out. I really like planned who I want to get on it. All the times I've been, most of the verses I've got have been recorded remotely and then sent to me. But whenever I'm in the studio with the artist, I'm very hands on. I'm like, oh, do this part like this. I'm really like, the term producer in hip hop is a very loose term.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's basically just refers to whoever made the beat.
Mm.
I believe a producer is more than that. True, it's the producer is someone who is like helping really craft the song after, like a lot of guys, they'll send in some stems for beat. They'll send in a, you know, six or seven stems, sample, kick, snare, hi-hat. Then they just send it off and get someone to mix it. It's like, oh, I produced that song. It's like, no, you didn't really. You sent in a basic shell, and then someone else took it from there and made it into a song. You know what I mean? So I believe that producing is like, you got to be hands-on with it and you know, fine-tune it, fine-tune the music. So that's what I've been doing. I've been really hands-on. I work with, I've been getting a mix with Jamie Cuse at Nova Studios, Norfan.
Okay.
Iconic, legendary engineer. I've known him for like 20 years. We're both from Norfan, so we go way back. He works with Snack, Junk, Sonny Knows, Rez Kids. He's actually going to be on the red carpet with Sonny Knows, the Junos, coming up.
Shout out to Sonny Knows, Rez Kids.
One of the best in the biz. And I'm in there every session, hands on. You know, I want this like that. I want that like this. And really, like, really producing something. Yeah, so I got probably have about 15 or 16 joints on the album. I got my man right here on a joint. And we'll just give a little sneak peek right here. I got him on a track with J.D. Era, A$AN Eastwood, and Young Cash. And it's kind of like a Griselda-inspired kind of joint. It's crazy. He hard body came through with the hook and absolutely killed it. And, yeah, so that's more or less the premise of the project.
And and what's the project? Do you have a name for it yet?
Yeah, it's going to be called, it's D-Rec. The Crate Crusader. The Crate Crusader is an alias I came up with back in the day when I first started DJing. Me and a few of my boys, we had a little crew. We were obsessed with the Invisible Scratch Pickles and the Beat Junkies, like real hardcore, like scratch nerd stuff. So we would just like sit in my room and eat mushrooms and then watch these wild videos of them doing crazy scratch routines. And they would always like have characters where they'd be like, they'd have a mask on and they'd like scratch and they were like this new character and they'd come up with little funny names for themselves. So we decided to do the same thing. So in the crew, there was Dust 3, the Vinyl Rhino, and then there was the Belt Drive Bandit, and then I was the Crate Crusader. And like, we even did like a little photo shoot one time, and I put like a milk crate over my head. I had like a cape. So like, you know, like the Cape Crusader?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so
the Crate Crusader,
right?
Yeah.
So my whole thing was I was like a superhero DJ guy. And then I just kind of kept that. And so, like, even on my Instagram handle is D-Rec, the Crate Crusader. So I'm just going to, I'm naming the project that. And, yeah, it just kind of encompasses, you know, everything that's all my influences and inspirations. And I've been working on this for a long time. Like, I got some joints that I've been sitting on for, like, 10 years. And I've just been waiting. And it's all timeless stuff that, you know, doesn't necessarily need to come out at a certain time because it's music. Good music transcends time.
Sure does.
You know what I mean?
True indeed, bro.
So I've been really, you know, thoughtful about, you know, the type of songs I want so they don't seem outdated when it's time for me to put them out. Yeah, so that's the name of the album. I'm hoping to release it maybe by summer. I got a few more. I got about 12 mixes in the can right now. I got a few more to go, and then I got to start doing, going to do the traditional, you know, not traditional, but the modern traditional method of, you know, doing a single at a time, and then, you know, I don't want to put the album out like that. Because it's a whole body of work, and I want everyone to listen to
it all together.
I want people to take it in as a whole thing, and not just as a single by single thing.
No doubt.
Because I'm from that era when I would get an album, that's all I would listen to. Like when I got Raekwon, Only Built for Cuban Links, that's all I listened to for 3 months straight. I had the purple tape and I played it so much that it died. I killed it, bro. And so I'm from that era where like I want a whole cohesive body of work that you can really take in as a whole thing, right? But nowadays, you know, people got short attention spans. The digital streaming platforms have kind of killed that whole thing with how people take in music now, right? So I'm going to do the release a single at a time, and then once the singles are released, then put out the whole thing as one big chunk. So
yeah. And I mean, that's it's important, man, as like artists and creators, man, to like, especially when you put so much time, like you said, like you have something that's been in the chamber for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes I don't think people really know and understand, like, the level of work that goes into, you know, somebody's
yeah.
project.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Their yeah. masterpiece, right? And I'm on this. I know Guilty's on the same. You know what I mean? I know Digi thinks the same. I think the same. It's like, yo, man, when we put something together, it's like I want the listener to listen to the whole thing.
Exactly.
Because it's going to be, it's like, it's going to be a story.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like reading a book.
Yes.
You don't go to the 25th chapter.
Exactly.
You got to start from the fucking, pardon self, you got to start from the forward, yeah. the preface.
Yeah.
You know, if it is a forward, or but you got preface, right? Yeah. And then go into the chapter.
This isn't a choose your own adventure book. You know what I mean? Remember those?
Pick one.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that's I think the part of this thing that, you know, people have kind of lost the appreciation for, right? Is that, man, like, yo, sit back. And that's what I was saying, like, with Westside, right? Like, most of his projects, like his Hermes, Hitler Wears Hermes, I listen to it front to back. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because I like to listen to the way that it's formulated
yeah.
and how everything just, like, how the rhythms, you know, intertwine. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I like to listen to music front to back. If I'm going to listen to an album, look, I still listen to Illmatic.
No, I was just going to bring it up.
You know what I mean? We think alike, right?
Yeah.
It's like Illmatic. I'm going to listen to it front to back. Still.
Obviously.
Mobb Deep, The Infamous.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
I listen to it front to back.
Yeah.
Every track.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Wu-Tang Forever. Yeah. I listen to it front to back. Oh, yeah. Every track.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, this is what it's about. Like, you know, but you know what? I honestly think that, I know that people say, and there is statistics to say, yeah, the attention span, blase, blase. But you know what I focus on is bringing forth the right fan,
yeah.
the right listener who is going to appreciate you all the way through.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what it's about.
I mean, I'm not trying to cater to everybody, bro.
Straight up.
My demographic is very specific.
No doubt.
I know who I'm targeting.
No doubt.
I know who I want to hear my music.
No doubt.
And I don't really care about everybody else.
Good man.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like, if you don't have the time or the attention span to take in a whole project, then that's, you know, that's your problem.
You're going to miss
that's
out.
That's not my issue. You're going to miss out.
Yeah. Straight up. Because yeah. people spend hours on TikTok.
Yep.
Hours scrolling on Instagram.
Yep.
But you can't sit and listen to a...
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. And because that's the thing. It's like I was saying, I would, like, back in the day, I would go to A&B Sound or Sam the Record...
Shout out to A&B Sound.
Or Sam the Record Man.
Yeah. Sam the Record Man.
And I would always get two albums at a time.
Oh,
I would take them home, and then that's all I would listen to for the next, like, 6 months. So I had to really take it in, because mm-hmm. I couldn't just go online. This is even, like, before Napster, before LimeWire,
mm-hmm.
before the internet, really.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm from that time where it's like you had to really value and appreciate the music that you had. Now kids that are growing up using streaming platforms have no concept of that. It's all, everything is so disposable now. You can go through everything. It's like you can listen to any song you could ever possibly imagine, and you'll listen to, like, 10 seconds. Oh, go to the next one.
Yeah.
I feel like people don't truly value and appreciate music as like they did before.
Yeah, like,
it's different now.
You know, like, before, like, you know, as a DJ or even an artist or producer, you have to listen to that old jazz record and get the feel and yep. stuff like that, right?
Yep.
All the way through, or that old funk or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And get the feeling and the vibe, right? And if you can't understand that, I don't know how you can really, you know, produce in the future, unless you just produce a whole different style, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have the knowledge of where the music came from, right?
Oh, that's first and foremost for me, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these kids these days, like, you know, like, even, like, seeing, like, some of those, like, Sway in the Morning freestyles when he's got, like, Little Yachty or someone in there or something.
Yeah.
And then they're doing, like, the Five Fingers of Death, when they gotta, like, you know, he throws on the five different beats and they gotta adapt each beat or whatever, and, like, they'll throw on, like, a Primo beat or something, and they're like, I'm not rapping on this. And they're like, do you even know who this is? He's like, nah, I don't care. Like, and it's like, dude, these are the forefathers of this world that you're
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Show respect. And for yourself, like, not only show respect to others, but respect yourself by taking the time to learn about this culture you're in. It's like with anything, bro. It's like with any culture, not 100%. Just hip-hop, with anything. 100%. Like, I know anybody I know that's, like, into, like, rock music and they play guitar, like, trust, they know about Clapton. They know about Hendrix. Mm-hmm. They know about Stevie Ray Vaughan. Mm-hmm. They know about these dudes. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these young rap dudes, they don't be knowing about Guru. They don't be knowing about Prodigy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A lot of these guys that came before them that paved the way for them.
Straight up.
Even though it's a totally different lane, a lot of these young cats are doing it. Might be like a completely different lane than some of these OG legend dudes. Mm-hmm. It's still part of the culture, and that those new lanes wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the forefathers.
Exactly.
So
exactly. Absolutely,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Big up on that, man.
Yeah, straight up.
100%.
Straight up. So, we got about maybe 5 minutes left. Let's go into some shout-outs. So sure. So you talked about the project coming out.
Yeah.
Crate Crusader.
Yeah. I'll list just some of the featured artists I have on.
Okay, let's
on
go.
Board. Yeah, I got Timbo King from Wu-Tang affiliate from Royal Fam. I got Reef the Lost Cause from Army of the Pharaohs. I got Mickey Fax, Sick Flow from 100 Mad Crew, which is Onyx's crew, like their umbrella that Onyx incorporated. Mm. I got, like I said, JD Era. He's also 100 Mad. Mm. I got Recognize Ali. Got Checkmate and Concise, Snack the Ripper, Quake Matthews from Halifax, Young Stitch, mm-hmm. Charlie Feta from Winnipeg. He used to be in Winnipeg's Most back in the day. Yeah, like Winnipeg legend, OG.
Those guys was some OGs.
Oh, yeah. They're OGs. Yeah,
some real
dudes. Yeah, yeah. Feta's my guy. I got Evil Ebenezer.
You got Junk on there?
I got Junk on there. I got Prevail from Swollen Members. I got who else I got on there? This Naree. Don't know if you're familiar with Naree. She's an incredibly talented vocalist from here. She kind of does like neo soul type stuff.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And she's in a group called the Star Captains. She's one of the most talented artists I know. I got her on there. I got oh my god, that's K-Pop. I got K-Pop.
That's my boy.
K-Pop.
We gotta get K-Pop in here.
The list goes on and on. Like I think probably by the time it's all said and done, there'll be like 60 different artists on it.
That's peace.
Yeah. So like 15 or 16 tracks with 3 or 4 people per track. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. That's why it's been taking so long, because it's like it's a lot of moving parts, and mm-hmm. It's been a lot of waiting. Mm-hmm. Let's send the beat off and wait for mm-hmm. the verse to come back. And mm-hmm. so that's why it's a labor of love for sure, but it's coming eventually. I
true
promise.
Indeed. No doubt. That's what they were saying about Dr. Dre's
detox. Yeah.
And it was, my opinion, wasn't even
this
that
is
good.
My detox. Or
Flavor Flav's album.
Is that a thing? Was he talking about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
He's supposed to come back when Flavor Love first started.
Could
you
imagine a Flavor Flav album? What would they
I thought it would be the dopest thing, man. 911 is a joke in your town. Yeah. Get up, get down.
I called 911 a long time ago.
You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Be able to come in the car. I'm wearing my Public Enemy hat right now.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
I seen them in 88 and I seen them in 99.
Where'd you see them?
I seen them at the Orpheum.
Oh, at the Orpheum?
Yeah, man.
In 89?
No, in 88.
Wow.
It was wild, bro.
Wow.
And Chuck had to have, like, an oxygen mask. I don't know if he's sick or whatnot.
Yeah.
But just so much energy. Like, in between verses, he'd go to the side.
Man.
And then come back and bust the next
verse.
That's
crazy,
right?
Dude.
It was wild, man.
Chuck never really gets brought up when you're talking about, like, the GOATs.
Oh, for sure.
But he definitely needs to be in that conversation,
for
bro.
For sure, man.
You know what I mean? 100%. Like, he was, like, the first, like, kind of, like militant,
revolutionary
oh, yeah. dude, yeah, oh, and he's yeah. just got such a strong voice, one of the best voices ever.
No doubt.
Yeah,
and I seen him in 99 at back to his Plush. You know what Plush is?
Oh, yeah.
They call it Enzo Club.
It was Gossip
Enzo.
At one point.
Gossip, yeah.
It went from Plush to Gossip.
Yeah,
to
so I seen them in 99, man. That was a hell of a show too, right? flavor with the Viking hat. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Viking hat.
I'm not sure if you've seen him there, but like, yeah. And Chuck, man, Chuck, like his breath and his wordplay was so much, you know.
I saw Run DMC at the Plaza of Nations one time.
Oh wow!
It was the first. It was a really weird event because it was like a hip hop show slash DJ battle. So there was a local DJ battle, but then there was also a A-Track did a showcase. Maestro performed, and then Run DMC performed, and I'm talking before Jay passed. I saw Run DMC, all three of them, back in like 99, and so it was that, but it was also a rave at the same time.
Oh wow.
It was the first legalized rave in BC, so every like half hour it would switch from a rap show. It was in the same venue, so every half hour. So for the one half hour, it'd be like all the rap people doing the rap thing, and then it's like, okay, time to switch over, and then all the rap people would go play the wall, and then all like the silver, like fairy wing rave people would come out and do their rave thing, and then it would like go back and forth. It was the wildest event ever, and I was I think on like a quarter ounce of mushrooms also at the time, so it was really wild to have to see the, like the whole like crowd go back and forth like that. It was crazy, but yeah, I saw Run DMC, all three of them. That was pretty. Legendary moment for
sure. It's like when we seen that BDP at the P&E. You remember that show, boy?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was wild, man.
I have heard about this one from multiple people.
Oh, yeah. They had D-Nice there. D-Nice was there.
D-Nice was there, too?
Yeah, man. It was wild.
This, was this after Scott LaRock or after he passed?
I think it was just after
just
Scott.
Just after. Okay, yeah,
just after him, man. And it was dope. Actually, my this dude that we know, his mother brought him in and stuff like that. And it was a wild show, man. So I know what you mean. When you see the legends there at the time, it's just... It's like when I seen Black Moon in Seattle. I think Chex was there too, Chex Meat and stuff, right? And we rolled down there, and like it was unbelievable, man. Probably one of the best shows I've ever seen. Smith and Wesson
both of them.
Yeah,
I saw both of them individually at Bar None in Yale Town. I don't know if Bar None's still there, but we were talking about Jay Swing earlier. He brought them, I saw Smith and Wesson one night and Black Moon another night. Got my Edge of the Stage vinyl signed.
I think Jay was there that night
was
too.
He?
I think he was with us in Seattle. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
it was a wild show, man.
Yeah,
we got 3 minutes.
Okay,
we got 3 minutes. So. Quick shout outs, and we're gonna run out your last track before, because you know what I mean. So, who you got? Quick shout outs to.
Okay, quick shout outs to all my peoples in Vancouver, all my homies I work with, Snat the Ripper. Much love to my guy Junk, who's out in Europe right now, pursuing his brand in Europe.
No doubt,
you know, pushing his art out there and doing a great job of it. He's on tour with Mobb Deep right now. He's doing some shows with Onyx.
Yep,
that's my guy. Shout out to Hungry and. Over in Calgary, all my peoples in Vancouver, all my peoples in Europe, all my peoples in the States. Too many people to really even mention, so just say much love to everybody who's within my within my circle. We'll just that. Yeah, you know who you are. Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt. Digi, go ahead.
Yeah, just shout out to the people, man. Everybody have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
No doubt. Guilty.
Yeah, same thing. You know, I like to say shout out to K-Sweet, holding it down, baby. You know, thank you for the foot massage and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Help me out, that was a 3-hour process. Jay Bell, thank you. And the lady, Jess, and peace to everybody in the city from coast to coast.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
Most definitely peace to everybody in Victoria Law now, baby. Vancouver, stand up, man. We love to do this, man. This is One Order Radio, 6 o'clock Blitz. We here every Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m., man. Tap in with us. Tune in with us. You know what I'm saying? And it's been a pleasure having DJ D-Rec in the building.
Thank you for having me. Much respect. Appreciate it.
No doubt. And, Jazz Boulevard is coming up next, so stay tuned, baby. We love y'all. Say peace.
Sounds like the soundtrack to the Turkish army, or the introduction to a gangster party. The
language is in the arrangement. Priceless paintings. Welcome to my royal chambers. This the flow that left them drove crazy. I'm from a time where the killers rocked haunted houses on gold cables. This is great art for all you fake smart bootleg bargain bad business out the backyard.